You're just too marvelous for words like glorious, glamorous, in that old standby amorous. It's all.
Okay, I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order and invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. With this, we'll go into a roll call of the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Here.
Commissioner Miller. Commissioner Smith.
Present.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Present.
And Chair Maynard.
Present. With that, we are going to go on to the public forum. This is the time within our agenda tonight that if there's something that you would like to discuss that is not agendized tonight, you could submit a speaker slip, and then we could hear about any topic that you may be interested in sharing with us on. Do we have any speaker slips for the public forum?
I have no speaker slips, but if any member of the public wishes to speak to a non-agenda item, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you. And seeing none, Chair.
Seeing none online and seeing none from the audience, we'll move forward from the public forum. Then that will take us into our administrative. Oh, actually, we'll first check if there's any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda. Dr. Imhoff, do we have any there?
Madam Chair, we have none.
Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to the administrative agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda. Can you read that item B1 to the agenda?
Yes, that is item B1, review and approve the Planning Commission meeting schedule for 2025.
Wonderful. And this one is a consent agenda item, which would mean that we would move forward with a vote on this unless anybody wanted to pull this from the consent agenda item. Is anybody wanting to pull this from consent? Okay. So let's go ahead and do a roll call vote of the consent agenda.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Yes. Can I get a motion?
I'll move to approve the meeting schedule.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And now we'll do a roll call vote and also vote on our pads.
Yes, please do lock in your votes, commissioners. Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller is absent. Commissioner Smith?
Yes.
Vice Chair Chapman?
Yes.
And Chair Maynard?
Yes. With that, that completes our consent agenda item, and we'll move into the public hearing. And we have one item in the public hearing, item C1. Can you please read that into the agenda?
Yes, Chair. That is item C1, consideration of an ordinance amending section 17.14.030 of the Municipal Code regarding accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units to comply with recent changes in the state law and finding the action to be statutorily exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act under section 21080.17 of the Public Resources Code.
Wonderful. And I believe we have a staff presentation tonight. Ms. Wells?
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners and members of the public. Welcome to this public hearing tonight. I'm joined by Andy Newkirk, Supervising Planner in Advanced Planning. And you get your usual team. We also have Scott Shapsis from BBK, the supporting Winnikai in the item. They helped us with the accessory dwelling unit ordinance amendments that is the subject of the hearing tonight. And I just wanted to flag, you know, we needed legal support to make the changes because the whole packet is addressing requirements of state law that go into effect January 1st. And if we, even if we didn't address the state law changes, they would still be in effect anyway. But at least we can import them into our code our way and also be in compliance so that we don't run the risk of getting our housing element opened up by the state. So that's why we're here now, and that's why you have the whole team. We did get one public comment letter from CalGEM, and that they were the old Department of Oil and Gas and Geothermal Energy Division. And it was pretty much of a boilerplate letter. It's not related to our actual substance of the ordinance. But I did want to just flag that. Administratively, we have the packets online, and you have access to that, and so does the public. Attachment one is the ordinance itself, and that's an exhibit A of the resolution. And then attachment two will includes a track change version, so you can see exactly what is changing. And with that, we're just going to, we have a short presentation. We just are walking you through the topics of the changes that are driven by those state law changes. And Andy Newkirk is going to give you that presentation, but we'll run through the hearing agenda is just the usual hearing agenda, presentation, and then questions and public comment, and then deliberation, and then action. So go ahead, Andy.
Thanks, Ann. So a little reminder on where we have been going with ADUs. It's been a kind of almost an annual rite of passage in the fall to bring forward an ADU ordinance for your consideration. And these are really driven by changes in state law that are enacted, you know, typically late August, September, and go into effect the next January. So we've had changes in ADU law pretty frequently. It's been a common topic for the legislature. And we have two bills that were signed into law this legislative session that go into effect January 1st, 2025. The reason we always bring these these ADU ordinance updates, you know, promptly is our whole ADU ordinance, our ADU regulations need to wholly comply with state law to be in effect. So if we don't update our regulations by January 1st, even though perhaps 99% of our ordinance aligns with state law, we still aren't in full compliance anymore. So that's why we're bringing this forward so quickly after the legislative session. And again, our ADU regulations are a section of our government Goleta Municipal Code. That's section 1741.030. So that's kind of in the middle of our zoning code. So getting to the substance, and again, these edits we're highlighting, there's really no wiggle room on. These are kind of informational slides as to what we must do to ensure compliance. So the first item is unpermitted ADUs and junior ADUs. And we have a provision in our regulations now that basically allows unpermitted ADUs built before 2018 to be permitted and be legalized with some circumstances where there's a health and safety concern. That date of January 1, 2018 is being extended to January 1, 2020. So now moving forward to be any unpermitted ADUs built before 2020 could come in and get legalized and not have to adhere to all the standards. The next edit is replacement parking requirements. And this is a very minor change. Currently, we cannot require replacement spaces. So again, if the ADU is built where an existing parking is, like a garage, we can't require replacement parking. And there's three examples of situations currently where we can't require that replacement parking: in garage, carport, or covered parking. And there's an edit to add uncovered parking spaces to the list that we cannot require to be replaced. Really minor edit here. There's a provision in the ADU regulations for ADUs in multifamily that under certain circumstances, if certain standards are met, portions of the multifamily dwelling can be converted to an ADU that are not used for livable space. And the term livable space was not defined, and there must have been some jurisdiction kind of reading that really broadly, perhaps. The state legislature added a definition for livable space, so we're adding that to the definitions portion of our regulations to align with that update. And then we have ADUs on multifamily lots. So these are, you know, your apartment complexes, those types of developments. Currently, the law and our regulations allow for two detached ADUs on those properties, in addition to some attached. The change is kind of bifurcated between existing and proposed multifamily projects. So where there's an existing multifamily dwelling, you can now have up to 8 detached ADUs on that site, or as many detached ADUs as there are primary dwellings if that if there's less than 8 units existing on that site. And then there's no change for proposed multifamily dwellings, so that would remain the same. So those are the kind of the big highlighted changes in the two pieces of legislation that were enacted. We did want to flag, and you can see in the track change version, there's a little description in the staff report as well about some other kind of minor tweaks and refinements just to kind of really tighten up that alignment with state law. And then there's also some of the citations in the government code have changed, so we've updated those. Done some updating of the cross-references within our regulations, again, just fine-tuning, and like some clarifications on titles. And there's a couple instances where JADUs should have been, the standards should apply to JADUs as well as just ADUs, and so some clarifications on that front have been made as well. Certainly happy to answer any questions you have about any of those changes, but they're, for the most part, fairly minor in nature and just really tightening up those ADU regulations to make sure we're right in lockstep with the state law. So on the, we have to consider the California Environmental Quality Act when we're bringing forth an ordinance. There is a specific exemption from CEQA for local ADU ordinances. And so in this case, this ordinance is exempt from CEQA. And so that concludes our presentation. What's before you tonight is for the staff recommendation is a resolution recommending to City Council adoption of the updated ADU regulations in 1741-030. And we are available for any questions you may have.
I see Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. I have one question about the ADUs in the multifamily lots. I think just that concept can come as a surprise to many people because it doesn't necessarily fit the concept of what people think of in terms of an accessory dwelling unit. But in terms of, I guess, other protections and parameters that we have in place, anything that was proposed would be subject to the other rules in the ordinance regarding setbacks and things like that. Is that correct?
Commissioner Smith, that's correct, but we would look just to 1741-030. That's really the full scope of development standards that we can apply.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Chapman?
I think things are generally clear as far as these updates. I have a couple questions sort of about the ADU section as a whole. Is that appropriate for this meeting, or I just want to make sure I'm not outside of the scope of the agenda?
I think you can, I don't know what it is exactly that you have to bring up, but I think this would be the better time to bring it up if you have a comment. I don't know if we can make the change if it's, you know, outside of this because we have to we have noticing requirements, but please would like to hear what you have to say.
Okay, yeah, so one of the things I was wondering about was the essentially ministerial review and what sort of is eligible for that. You know, states, for example, either on the instance of a lot with a single family home, you know, a ADU within the bounds of the home or a detached within certain parameters, you know, maximum size and whatnot. Does our code allow for one of each of those? on that lot?
I'm going to buy Andy a little bit of time. There's a lot in that section, and so we would want to be sure to do our homework and look at the wording to be exact. And I don't know if you have a lot of questions about the section. It might be better to send us an email, and we can get you the information. But if it's just that one, then I think Andy can probably get to it right here.
Yeah, Commissioner Chapman, you could have an ADU and a junior ADU, for instance, on an SFD lot. So a single-family dwelling could have the additional two units.
Okay. I ask because, maybe we could say this for a discussion, but I found some HCD guidance that states that one of each should be allowed. So we can maybe discuss that. Maybe that'd be outside of this, but I did see that, and it's not. I don't know if it's necessarily clear in as written, if it's just one or both.
I don't know if Mr. Shapsis wants to add to this conversation and address that specific question, or if he wants to look into it, and we'll get back to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So we can look into this further, Commissioner. We've addressed the language and discussed this with HCD, and they find that this language is consistent with their recommendations. And it would be as Andy had just said. So the major point is that this is consistent with HCD's guidance on this subject. You may have been looking at the HCD guide on ADUs, and we've sought guidance from them on that exact point.
Item D1B might get to what you're asking about. It's approvals and then limited detached and single unit dwelling lot, one detached new construction ADU on a lot with a proposed or existing single unit dwelling in addition to any JADU that might otherwise be established on the lot under the additional section. So I think that says you can do both.
It would appear so. So what I had found was the HCD ADU guidebook, and it was on pages 19 and 20. If you end up looking that up later, but it sets out the categories of ministerial review, and it says the above four categories may be combined. For example, local governments must allow A and B together, or C and D together. So. The A and B is the A is the within the bounds, and the B is the detached.
Again, I don't see Scott taking off his mic, but that's the guide, yeah. And then it's when you consult with them directly, how they give you the feedback directly.
Okay,
so that we're making the change that they have. It's not approved, but maybe like just through attorney discussions,
right?
Is what they're seeking.
And I do understand the point you're making, Commissioner. I believe it is clear from the language, but if you think there's additional ways to clarify that language, we could consider it. And I'm sure that it would with minor changes, but we wouldn't do it in this update, but maybe in a future update.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a few things because I've seen a lot just on like local next door and people coming to the meetings and having a little bit of confusion. So just to be super clear, these changes you're saying are the state is mandating these changes. So this is a state law and does it have anything to do with our housing element? Whether or not we would have passed the housing element or not, would these still be laws that we have to follow?
Commissioner Fulton, that's correct. The state law is the state law on this. And the reason we're bringing forward the ordinance is there's some things like our design, our objective design and landscaping standards in our local ordinance that we have the ability to include but are not in state law. And we want to retain that limited control. And to do so, we need to do the updates to mirror the state changes.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Thank you. So it's such that, just I want to be clear as well. So if our code is not in compliance with the state code, then basically it would just default to the state code?
That's correct.
Okay.
Another way to say it, Commissioner, would be that Goleta's law would become void. So that's the importance of these changes.
There was the exception for health and safety concerns, and I was just wondering, like, what sort of analysis is done to determine if, for a unit that predated the ADU guidance, what analysis do we do to ensure that it meets health and safety guidelines if we're not doing it against our ADU ordinance?
Chair Maynard, I think we would look. I think that would typically be something that would be looked at, like, probably with the building official and probably the city attorney's office, because that's, that's not a super common occurrence. There is a citation to the health and safety code that we would certainly rely upon, the guidance in that language. But that would be certainly case by case, but would not be taken lightly. I mean, there'd be a lot of melding of minds on that.
And I noticed, like, in our ADU guidance, we have some limited requirements of fire sprinklers in certain situations. Would that one be something that would still be required with the ADUs, since that's safety related?
Chair Maynard, I don't think we would be able to answer that. I think we'd have to look at that health and safety language. Mm. And again, I think that would typically default to the building official and collaboration with the city attorney's office.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other clarifying questions before we get a public comment? Okay. Then let's go ahead to public comment, and then after public comment, we'll do one more round of questions for staff and then deliberation.
And we did open the public hearing, Chair. Great.
And I open the public hearing.
Thank you, Chair. I have no speaker slips. If any members of the public on the Zoom webinar wishes to speak to this item, please use the raised hand icon and I will call on you. I'm seeing none, Chair.
Can I? please come up, and then afterwards, if you can fill out a speaker slip if you haven't had a chance to yet, that'd be great.
Hi, my name's Lynn Darnton. I'm the president of the Second University Village Homeowners Association. We have about 267 homes, and about a third of them are duplexes on cul-de-sacs. So I understand that tonight the state law is a state law and there's nothing we can do about it. But I want to share that currently parking on those duplex cul-de-sac blocks are already a problem in our community, where there are, you know, four or five cars parked, you know, trying to park on at each lot. It's overflowing into the other parts of the association. So not having replacement parking is a big deal for us. So what I wanted to just register is that I've heard that some other cities have been requiring a very low prices for ADUs for duplexes, that they need to be rented for a certain period of time at a, you know, the low, I've forgotten what the proper term is, but, you know, very low prices for the rental units. And that would, I think, disincentivize some of the owners from building an ADU on a duplex, because that's where it really, I'm all for ADUs in the rest of the complex. That's something I really support. I think we need low-income housing. But when it's on a duplex, boy, it's already a parking problem. So if there's any way we could think of something additional to do to disincentivize ADUs for duplexes, that would make a difference in my community. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. And please fill out a speaker slip if you don't mind.
And Chair, I actually do now have one hand up for public comment.
Thank you.
Shaheen, would you please unmute yourself? And you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Shaheen. Can you guys hear me?
I can, thank you.
Perfect. I'm just curious to know about the pre-approved ADU program. that it looks like you guys had submissions due today. And I'm curious to know what you guys think about this program and how it's going to affect, I guess, the discussion you guys are having tonight and the city of Goleta moving forward.
During public comment, it is a one-way public comment, so we may integrate that into the discussion afterwards, but at this point, it's your time to speak.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know much about that program, but it seems like you guys are asking for architects or developers to provide you with a program of just plans. It seems like elevations and basic conceptual plans of ADUs, and that homeowners can use those plans to develop their own ADU on their lot if they choose to. That's the way I was reading it, but I'm not sure if that's totally correct. I just wanted to know more about that, because I'm hearing a lot of neighbors talk about this, wanting to build an ADU, but they can't afford it. And I'm curious to know what do we think that this program is really going to do for everyone? That's all I have. I don't need the full 3 minutes.
Thank you very much for your public comment. Do we have any additional public comments?
Seeing none.
And are there any additional public comments from folks in the room? Just want to give a moment in case anybody didn't have a chance to fill out a slip. Okay. With that, we'll go back to discussion. And so if there's any clarifying questions that additional folks would like to ask staff before we go into deliberation, any additional questions from commissioners?
I guess I didn't know if staff wanted to comment on the question. I know we're not like directly discussing that particular item tonight, so I think it's coming back at a future date.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, I can speak to that. This was broadly noticed to the public. There is another state law, AB 1332, that requires local agencies to accept pre-approved plans for ADUs and to post those on the website as a way of essentially streamlining and facilitating the permitting and development of ADUs. The permitting process is already very streamlined and is subject in almost all cases to a ministerial permit review, but this allows essentially a plug and play where, since the plans are pre-approved, a property owner who wants to build an ADU can simply select from among the pre-approved plans, negotiate with the architect who developed those plans, and compensate them, and then move forward with the construction following the essentially even more streamlined permitting. So that's the intent, and I understand that as of today, we have some 3 separate pre-approved plans, which will go to the Design Review Board for review and approval in December, and then I believe that is the last step. I'm not sure if those have to go to the Planning Commission as well, but once they're approved, we would then post them in accordance with the state law, and they would be available for property owners to use.
Thank you for that clarification.
On those, I noticed that the public comment is also a thought around affordability. Was that one of the considerations in choosing which pre-approved plans to approve?
Madam Chair, I don't think that affordability is a consideration. I think it's just the design of the plans themselves, and then, of course, review that those plans meet the zoning requirements as to floor area, height, et cetera.
And are we approving any plans that meet the guidelines? Or we're not trying to, like, choose the best of the best, or we... How many plans could be approved of the ones that applied?
There's no limit to the number of plans that can be pre-approved, and that will then be up to the Design Review Board to look at and make comments on.
Thank you. That's very clarifying. I appreciate that. Okay, I see Vice Chair Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. I had a question. Kind of, it may interact with the pre-approved plans. I was wondering... does our code allow for prefabricated, like a prefabricated detached ADU? I know that's something that's kind of emerging, and that's something that could be more affordable that, you know, essentially is brought in and installed on a foundation.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Chapman, that really relates to the building code, and yes, prefabricated dwellings are possible as long as they meet the California building code requirements.
Okay. And so in some of those, it's possible that some of those pre-approved plans could be a, something that's a prefabricated.
There's, yes.
Okay.
I wanted to see if Ms. Wells could speak a little bit to this idea of putting rental price restrictions on ADUs. Something we've always been looking at is affordability and how do we support affordable units. Is that something that you've seen can be feasible in an ADU ordinance to put price restrictions on rent?
I don't believe that is the case. The whole concept of disincentivizing ADUs is exactly what the state is telling us not to do. And unless Andy has any other information about price restrictions on ADUs.
Chair Maynard, in a previous iteration of ADU updates, we did actually explicitly exempt ADUs from our inclusionary requirement. And I think to Ms. Wells's point, while price restrictions may be a valuable tool, it does also potentially serve as a disincentive for the property owner to come in to get an ADU approved. And there's nothing in the state law giving us the authority to include a price, a rental or sales, or I guess a rental restriction on those ADUs.
I'm gonna go to Commissioner Fullerton, then back to Vice Chair Chapman, just because she hasn't spoken in a little while. Oh, you're from before, okay. Commissioner Fullerton.
Thank you. I have a question on there was one bullet in there. I don't think it was something that was being changed this time, but it talks about the deed restriction may be removed if the owner eliminates the ADU or JADU as evidenced by example, removal of the kitchen facilities. It doesn't really say anything about, is there anything in there that's stopping someone from building an ADU and then just removing it like 2 months later? Like, is there anything in there that were to make sure that the ADU remains an ADU, which was the, so it has the same purpose it was intended?
Commissioner Fulton, they would have to come in to get that development approved. I'm not sure if it's explicitly stated, but that would be the case. So we would expect that. I mean, it would be pretty difficult sometimes to come in, especially if it's new construction on the ADU, but they would have to come in and get whatever they got streamlined as an ADU fully approved as whatever it is, an addition or an accessory structure or something like that. That would be our expectation. And I mean, it might be hard in practice to know what they've done, but that, that's code compliance in general.
Okay, thanks.
Any additional questions from commissioners? All right, not seeing any yet. I'm gonna go ahead and close public comment. Close the public hearing, and now we're going to move into deliberation. So would anybody like to start the discussion around deliberation? Commissioner Fullerton.
Yeah, I don't have any further comments. I mean, I think it all seems reasonable, and it's something we have to do legally, so I would support this.
Commissioner Smith?
Yes, I just wanted to respond briefly to the public comment that we received as it relates to the ADU ordinance. We're limited in terms of what state law allows in terms of parking, but we did talk about some various parking issues as it related to other parts of our zoning code and through the housing element process. At one of our recent meetings, and we talked about how, we're requiring a little more parking. I think it was for the studios and one bedrooms than some other nearby jurisdictions. So we've discussed the parking issue in other contexts because I think our community is quite aware of, I used to live on Chapman Place. So I'm well aware of the parking struggles that exist in and around kind of the general Cannon Green area and other parts of our community as well. It's a consistent concern that we hear. So it's tricky because, right, creating or requiring parking makes things more expensive, but it obviously has an impact on everybody in the community. So in any case, I just wanted to flag that there's been in other contexts where we've kind of discussed and looked at some of the parking issues, but we have limited authority here.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to kind of continue that conversation about the elements of parking in this. You know, for example, one of the things that this does is it actually, we also required to not only not require replacement of covered parking, but also uncovered parking, if that is what's required to create an ADU. And I think it really highlights the need to really get serious about providing alternatives. It's definitely something for the City Council to consider. And there's definitely questions of sort of for us in terms of, you know, good planning practices and how that's evolved over time, and what that means as far as making it more feasible for people to get to their daily needs without driving, without having to have a car and find parking, because, you know, the state is steadily chipping away at requiring parking. And I think that's definitely because they sort of acknowledge the, you know, either it takes up space or it's underground and it adds to costs, or, you know, it has a direct relationship with the amount of land used for housing and the cost of housing and other land uses. And definitely something that, you know, we as a commission have a role in considering if we can't provide more parking, if the state, you know, says you cannot require more parking, you know, for the housing element, for apartments, you can't require replacement of parking, then what do you do? And I think there are things that can be done, and we need to be open to that. It's not going to be covered in this, but just something to consider for the future. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from commissioners? I'll say on my part, I think this is well written. I think this incorporates all of the things that we're required to incorporate by the state. I do think that there's clarity that you need to be able to have both the ADU and the JADU language, so I don't think additional edits are needed for that. I think the way it's written is actually quite good. And I think you've, you know, really done a lot to try to preserve our local authority where we have that flexibility, and I really appreciate your work to try to make sure that we can continue to maintain some local decision-making in this process. Of course, these are all a balance. but I appreciate the work that you've done, and I would lean towards supporting as staff recommends here. I am open to taking a motion if anybody would like to try one.
Commissioner Fullerton. Motion to adopt Planning Commission Resolution Number 24- entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta recommending that the City Council adopt an ordinance to update procedures and regulations for accessory dwelling units pursuant to Assembly Bill 2533 and Senate Bill 1211 and determine the ordinance to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act case number 24-0006-ORD.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
And okay. We'll go through a roll call vote now.
Yes, commissioners, please do lock in your votes. Commissioner Fullerton.
Yes.
Commissioner Miller is absent. Commissioner Smith.
Yes.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Yes.
And Chair Maynard.
Yes. And with that, it goes and passes, and we'll move on to the next agenda item, which I'll pull up right now. Okay. So we're going to go to Director Imhoff for the planning director's comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good evening, Commission. I have a few items. First, I wanted to let you know that our Commission Clerk, Caitlin Collier, has resigned in order to accept a Deputy Clerk position with the City of Santa Barbara. So we are grateful for her service, and we are now looking to our clerk's office to assist us with the clerking of these meetings, and we're actively recruiting to fill that vacancy. Our management assistant, Kim Dominguez, will also be assisting us and the commission with any support needs you have. So feel free to reach out to her if there are specific things you need support with. One possible such item is on December 5th, the Coastal Housing Coalition is hosting a housing conference. I may have mentioned this at our last meeting. And we have budget, which will allow commissioners to attend. I believe we've received a couple expressions of interest from commissioners who are interested in attending that. But if you are interested and have not let us know, please send an email or call Kim Dominguez, and she will assist you with getting registered for that. Next, I am happy to announce that our electric vehicle charger project here at City Hall is complete. The construction is complete as of Friday. It is still undergoing our final building inspections, but that is going to be available to the public. We have 17 charging stations total. They're out on the southern edge of the City Hall parcel, and we are very excited about that. Then I would also like to thank our Commissioner Smith for her service over the past years as a planning commissioner, congratulate her on her election to City Council, and wish her well in her new role. Finally, next month, we have a Planning Commission meeting scheduled for December 9th. At this point in time, we have no items for that meeting, so it is likely we will not meet again until next year, 2025. And that concludes my report.
And Director Imhoff, we do have some Planning Commission spots that are open. If anybody wants to apply, can you speak to that?
Yes. So we will be then recruiting for the coming vacancy for the Planning Commission. And those interested members of the public can contact our City Clerk's office, Deborah Lopez, our City Clerk. That will be posted online. And the submittal requirements will be listed there.
Thank you so much for adding that. And now we'll move to Planning Commission comments. Are there any comments from planning commissioners? Commissioner Smith?
Yes, I wanted to just say thank you to my fellow commissioners. Today is my last meeting as a planning commissioner. Based on the election results that are available, I'm confident that I've become council member elect, and so therefore I'm resigning from the Planning Commission. And so it's been an honor to serve for the last 7 years. I wanted to thank the city staff, the clerk's office, the city attorney's office, and of course all the planning staff for all their professionalism over the years. Public Works, you know, we've interacted with a lot of different city staff. Wanted to thank all of my current commissioners as well as past commissioners who we have served with. I've been very impressed. Even though we all come from different backgrounds and have, you know, different philosophies, at least in my time here, we've always, deliberated passionately yet with civility. And I think that's really important and something that I think people love about the city of Goleta, that we can thoughtfully discuss and debate these issues. And then I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing on serving the community in a different way. So we've really appreciated over the years all of the comments we've received from the public. In the last 7 years, we've had a lot of policy items that came through us first and then went on to council, things like the cannabis ordinance, the ADU ordinance, the zoning code, a lot of different things, and the public's comments were always so critical. So for the members of the public watching, I would certainly encourage individuals to continue to participate. It can be overwhelming sometimes looking at these agendas and packets and you may not understand all of it, but it's really important for commissioners to continue to hear feedback from the public. So just wanted to say thank you. It's been an honor.
And thank you so much for your service. It's been a pleasure having the opportunity to serve from you, to learn from you, and to debate with you over the years. So I really appreciate you participating. Any other comment? Vice Chair Chapman.
We'll miss having you here.
All right. With that, I think we'll close the Planning Commissioner comments. And now I will move into adjournment. Would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
I'll second.
And we'll do a roll call vote of adjournment.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Yes.
Commissioner Miller is absent. Commissioner Smith.
Yes.
Vice Chair Chapman.
Yes.
Chair Maynard.
Yes. Thank you. And with that, we are adjourned.